The French were promised coalition building. Instead, they got a term-limited lone leader forced back to the drawing board. Emmanuel Macron losing his third prime minister in the 16 months since he dissolved parliament and then lost ensuing snap elections. Sébastien Lecornu breaking a Fifth Republic record by lasting just 27 days as head of government. We'll ask why the head of the conservative Les Républicains party first accepted to stay on as interior minister and then, faced with uproar, slammed the door 90 minutes later on Sunday night. As for the president, he's got three choices. Try again to find a PM who can work with an opposition-led parliament. Sébastien Lecornu's name still in the mix, by the way. Call snap elections as demanded by far-right leader Marine Le Pen. Or, as the far-left would have it, Macron should resign now, they're saying. Macron's made it crystal clear he's not leaving before 2027. So what can he decide? To federate alliances, reassure markets, and salvage the legacy of a disruptor who 8 years ago broke the mold of French politics but now has to contend with an uncompromising fragmentation of the formations in France? When Macron broke parties, did he also break the system? Today in the France 24 debate, we're asking if it is a mess of Macron's making. With us, Member of Parliament from the left France Unbound party, Daniel Obonneau. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Franck Marguin is Conservative Paris City Municipal Councillor. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Political strategist Hin Ziyan is with us. Good to see you.
Thank you. Thank you, François.
And Yves Saint-Omer, professor of political science at the University of Paris 8. Thank you for joining. I almost said Saint-Denis. Is it? Could you still say Saint-Denis?
Yes.
All right, in the northern suburb of Saint-Denis. Thanks for joining us. On the go, by the way, you can listen to the show wherever podcasts are streamed. It was all planned after nearly 4 weeks of waiting. A government unveiled Sunday night ahead of a Monday cabinet meeting and a Tuesday general policy speech before parliament. But the names on the list never did pass the sniff test. In the ensuing melee that we've seen, the conservative coalition partners of Les Républicains slamming the door, upset most notably over seeing the name of Bruno Le Maire, the man they as fiscal hawks blame in part for the budget deficit, coming back to replace Prime Minister Lecornu as Minister of the Armed Forces. Lecornu, who gave a speech late morning to tender his resignation before the French people.
The political parties continue to act as if they had an absolute majority in the National Assembly. Basically, I found myself in a situation where I was ready to compromise, but each political party wants the other political party to adopt its entire program.
So we thought that was the last we'd see of Sébastien Lecornu for a while, but no. He then, in the afternoon, returns to the French presidential palace. And after the Élysée asked him to stay on 48 hours for more brokering, firing off a tweet where he says, I've accepted to broker ultimate discussions, final discussions with the political forces for the stability of the country. The Le Figaro newspaper reporting Yves Saint-Omer that he's not going to stay on past those 48 hours. But 48 hours is proving to be a long time in French politics. Your thoughts on this sequence of events we've seen since Sunday evening?
Well, you know, sometimes one has the feeling it can get worse. And actually, it can. I mean, we are in a continuous mess. Could you imagine what ordinary people, ordinary citizens, can think about politics when politics is like this? The chance for, I mean, the possibility for the prime minister to succeed when he didn't succeed during 1 month is really low, and so we'll be again in a trap in a couple of hours or 2 days.
Hin Ziyan, is this 48 hours to try to pull off a miracle or to buy more time for the French president before he addresses the public? Emmanuel Macron has not spoken publicly.
Yes. I mean, Sébastien Lecornu doesn't even believe in it himself, because he said even if after those 48 hours I get a deal between all parties, I'm not going to stay. So that's proof that he himself doesn't think that it's something that he can pull off. And even if he does pull it off, isn't that something he wants to get involved in? And usually if you're in politics and you don't want to get involved anymore, it means that you don't really believe that the future is going to be holding things that are very positive for you or for your party. So I think this is a way maybe for Lecornu, who is very close to the president and who's been for many years, to answer to some of his requests. One last request, which is, please try again, because I don't have any solution for the moment. But the way he responded to it is basically, okay, I'll try, because we've been friends for a long time, but I'm not sure it's going to succeed, and that's why I don't want to keep going.
What was your reaction when you saw the list of ministers unveiled on Sunday evening, Daniel Obono, and B, when you heard Sébastien Lecornu in his speech saying, there was room for compromises, but we're also undermined at times, even by people within my own camp?
Well, I was not surprised by the list of the ministers, because what we've been saying for the past month is the problem is that Emmanuel Macron wants to keep doing the same policies over and over again. That's what happened when he nominated Monsieur Barnier, then when he nominated Monsieur Bayrou, and when he nominated Lecornu, who is one of the minister, I think the only minister who was part of every government for the past 8 years.
I think bar 1 month at the very beginning.
Yeah, it meant that he wouldn't change course. When a year ago, millions of people in France actually voted for a change of course. They voted against the far right. They didn't want the far right to win. And they also didn't want to continue with the same policies that had been implemented in France and that put us in this crisis, economic crisis, social crisis. So I wasn't very surprised. And we've been saying that we are just wasting time. We need to change course. We need to call for a presidential election, because it's not about who's in charge, the prime minister, or now it's been said that Monsieur Le Maire is supposedly the problem, when it's like they're all the same parties. They are all in the same party. They are all supposedly agree. And then it's just like revenge, or it's really irresponsible to me. And now what we're saying is that Emmanuel Macron has to decide if he wants to help the country or if he wants just to be the worst president we've had in a very long time, in the worst in the history of the Fifth Republic, because he's pretty much collapsing and putting the Fifth Republic in the grave right now. And he has to decide whether he step down or he's going to be toppled. And that's what we're saying. The only issue is for him to step down.
Franck Marguin, just a bit of forensics on what happened on Sunday evening. The head of the Conservative Party, who's also the caretaker interior minister, Bruno Retailleau, first nominated and then 90 minutes later putting out a tweet saying this is unacceptable. Visibly, Les Républicains angry with the nomination of Bruno Le Maire, who had been the finance minister, the Les Républicains fiscal hawks. They don't appreciate it. Do you believe that Bruno Retailleau, when he says he didn't know that Bruno Le Maire was going to be named?
I believe so. That's probably the reason why it is difficult for the Républicains to carry on. Working in a team supposed to be part of the team with some trust, and apparently, you know, the trust was not there anymore. And I'm quite surprised that Lecornu has made this mistake, because the guy is quite clever. He used to, you know, work on politics quite well, and he understood that Bruno Maire was carrying sort of negative, feeding from the French, actually, and also from the Republican Party. But I don't want to go into a personal issue, you know. Mr. Le Maire has also done quite good job in different aspects, and he has done less good job in different others. The issue is that When you build a government, you have to build on a project. What was probably missing in the Cornu is what do they want to do? And actually, the Republicans were surprised to see that nearly none of the ministers were new or newly appointed or new coming into the government. So that's probably one issue. And the second issue is that when I hear Mrs. Sobono saying that, you know, it's a grave and whatever, but no, the French have sent to the national parliament, you know, a multiple political parties, and they have given seats to different parties, and they didn't want to give any majority to anyone, which means that's the job of the MPs to find a common policy, as it is, you know, in Germany or in Italy or in Netherlands.
A coalition.
To work together. And I'm concerned, extremely concerned, that the extreme left and extreme right in France, they just don't want to play the game. No agreement. Whatever Macron is going to do, they will, you know, cut the prime minister and the government. There is no responsibility. And there is no belief in something which could happen in our country, which has never happened in the past, that people working together. And that's where probably the issue stands. And Mr. Retailleau just slammed the door because he thought that was not clearly said. We need an agreement for a project. We didn't get it. We need a trust. We didn't get it. So there is very little reason why this should stay.
Right, compromise, not in the DNA of French politics. It's often been winner takes all.
No.
Past. The left again calling for one of theirs to get the nod as prime minister. That's what the socialists are asking for this Monday. We could take a look at what the National Assembly looks like.
Why not? If the appointment is who is going to be a guy able to, you know, put together some right, some centers, some people from the left, and try to make a project. What do we need right now? It's a project. And probably, you know, if people want to take their responsibility, they will work on a project. That, you know, could take probably a month or a month and a half. But we have to, you know, work on what do we want to do for the next year? What do we want to do for the next 2 years? That's not something the French politics have learned.
Right. Let's talk about that, because the right now you have, as you can see from this, a splintered parliament. It's split three ways. Parliament, which holds the power for now, which is kind of an unprecedented situation in that it is splintered this way. There have been times in the past where the opposition has had a clear majority. Here it's a three-way split. Emerald Maxwell has more on the possible scenarios going forward.
Merci à toutes et à tous.
He's asked his prime minister to conduct final negotiations by Wednesday evening on an action platform following Sébastien Lecornu's surprise resignation Monday morning. But Emmanuel Macron is facing immediate pressure to call another snap parliamentary poll, particularly from the far right. For Marine Le Pen, whose national rally stands to gain from elections, there's no other way out of the crisis. We're at the end of the road. It's time to stop. We return to the polls. There are also calls for Macron himself to step down, a move that the president has repeatedly ruled out before his mandate ends in May 2027, as he has resisted calls to again hold snap elections after the last one backfired. But he could also face impeachment by opposition MPs, called for by the hard left.
He is the source of the chaos. We must challenge the legitimacy of the president within the institutional framework of our parliamentary democracy.
A possibility which is provided for in the Constitution, but would be unlikely to pass at this stage. Macron is also left with the option of nominating a new head of government, amid renewed calls to pick someone on the left, after a string of figures from his own central bloc failed to rally enough support.
The left and the Greens must be given priority to lead this country and to put forward a strong political alternative.
The question remains, how long could any government last, faced with a fractious and divided parliament? Outgoing Interior Minister Bruno Retailleau said some compromises for his centre-right party were beyond the pale.
Quand on a entendu la gauche,
when we heard the left harping on about the old left-wing ideas that have weakened France, there's no question of supporting a left-wing government or prime minister today.
Un gouvernement et un premier ministre de gauche.
The last cabinet lineups angered opponents and allies alike, who either found them too right-wing or not sufficiently so.
Who holds the key, Yves Saint-Omer?
Well, for sure, Macron is the first one who holds the keys. And this is why I do agree that his responsibility is huge in this situation. But the three camps in the national parliament also hold the key, because at the time being, the problem is not only to make compromise. In order to have a stable government, you should have a coalition, a real coalition from the central bloc, either with the far right or with at least part of the left. And this was not really attempted.
Yeah, last year the budget was passed thanks to the socialists abstaining and not bringing down the government.
Yes, but it was last year. Right. It was last year. And in between, the country has not moved. It would have been logical to have a left-wing prime minister after the elections last time, because the left was had a relative majority within the parliament.
Had now, the most seats, but not an outright majority.
Yes, so now it is very late. Another government from the central bloc will much probably be censored. A government by the Socialist Party would have the same fate. And this is why I think that the only way to really try to escape the situation is new elections. If Macron had a sense of history, he would probably resign. I'm afraid he has not this sense of history, but at least parliamentary elections are needed. And then we have to think about the system. I mean, it's a game in which things are going badly. So we have to think beyond the moment to reform radically our political system.
In 2024, Emmanuel Macron did not count on an electoral alliance between the various left-wing parties, including yours, Daniel Obono. Today, would such an alliance be possible? And if not, would that mean a huge majority for the far right if there were snap elections?
Well, I'm glad you're talking about the left as a whole, because the way it was presented may have been misleading. When we're talking about the left in 2024, it's first and foremost La France Insoumise, which is the left, and we managed and we took the initiative to ask the Green, the Socialist Party, to build this coalition, which came first at the snap elections. What happened afterwards is that the president didn't think it was okay to respect what the people voted. And it's been told about that there's a lack of compromise, but who didn't compromise for the whole year? It's Emmanuel Macron. He refused. He completely
Would today such an alliance still be possible?
But that's what we actually proposed. We this morning we called the Socialist Party and the Green to have a meeting and to discuss those issues and to discuss which how do we build an alternative to what's going on, and how do we push Emmanuel Macron to step down or to be impeached. That's the options that we are putting on the table. The Socialist Party decided to try and negotiate. They've been doing it for months and months. We warned them that Emmanuel Macron was obstinate in his neoliberal policy, and nothing would come.
So the door is still open for you to an electoral alliance at this point?
Well, that's what we've been saying over and over again over the past month. We said we have a program, and millions of of citizens have decided this program was the one to be implemented. And we have to stick to that, because you can't say the far right may win, and at the same time, it's okay not to betray the citizen. That's precisely what helped the far right when the so-called left or right-wing party betray their program, their platform. So that's the proposition that we've been giving to the Socialist Party and the Green. The Green agreed, and tomorrow morning we may have a meeting with at least the Green to discuss the next steps.
Hin Ziyan, what would a dissolution bring at this point?
Well, I think, first of all, the option of having a new government without any dissolution or any resignation or anything as such is a little bit not so viable, because Marine Le Pen said, and her party, the far right, the National Rally, said that any government that is selected before dissolution will be toppled by the Rassemblement National. And they have over 140 seats in Parliament. I think that if there is a prime minister from the left, it is also going to be very likely toppled, because the RN is not going to accept it, and the traditional right, the traditional conservative right, will not accept it either. So it keeps us in a setting where you have two solutions, which is dissolution or the resignation of the president. The dissolution at this point is going to answer this question: what kind of legitimacy do you get as a government? And I think today Macron can't govern, and all of his prime ministers are falling, because there is no clear majority in Parliament. If he can get a clear majority in Parliament, then the solution is here and the problem is fixed. But that means elections. And if you don't get elections where people clearly make a decision and say, this is the party or the coalition that we want to see in power, you're not going to have a solution. Prime ministers, they're going to keep coming and keep falling. And specifically about the issue of what happened more than a year ago during the last elections, what happened was, in the tradition of this country in France, when you have elections, you have the president, and then immediately after it, you have legislative elections, so that the president has enough legitimacy and a majority to govern. That's the majoritarian principle in this country. What happened multiple times, starting 1986, I think, was the first time, was that basically you had a cohabitation, which is basically a president.
The opposition had parliament.
Yes, the opposition had parliament. President of one color, and the opposition in Matignon, in the prime minister, being able to choose their prime minister. So if you don't have a clear majority, if you look at every time this country had the opposition in Matignon, it had a clear majority, which is more than 289 elected officials. If you don't have that, it's going to be very hard to impose the will on the president. So what we need is a dissolution. And for that to be really efficient, we need at least 289 elected officials in the National Assembly from one coalition.
And to Yves Saint-Omer's point from earlier, that there was an opportunity perhaps to rethink the way politics are done a year ago, but now we're too close, perhaps, to the presidential election of 2027.
We're close, and more than that, I think a lot of people.
So there'll be too much grandstanding.
Yes, and there's like sort of this general feeling of a fatigue. You know, I think a year ago people were more prone to concessions. They were more prone to negotiating. Now, I mean, it's like what the RN is saying. Like, if you don't actually have a dissolution, nothing can happen, and no prime minister can say.
Franck Marquin, what are the chances of these 48 extra hours of discussions that Sébastien Lecornu is currently coordinating, of them bringing together some kind of a government with some kind of a platform that can pass a motion of no confidence in Parliament?
I see a very limited chances of success. The idea behind that, you know, the Socialists and the Green, they don't want to go with the Républicains, the Democrats, and the Macronists. So they are not like in Germany, where in Germany the Socialists and the Green, they have a project with the right, and they could, you know, govern together. That's not our culture. So until the MPs have decided and the political party have decided not to work together, despite the major differences, it won't happen. So my view is that the next 48 hours will not be able to change the landscape of the issue. And I would bet that the president will call general election. And I hope that this time the French will send to the parliament a party with a majority. And if not, we will have to learn to work together despite our differences. When you hear Mrs. Obono, that's quite amazing. You know, the left wing in France has no majority at all. Despite what she wants to play, there is no majority in terms of votes and there is no majority in terms of seats. Either, you know, not the Républicain or even the Front National, the Rassemblement National. So no one has a majority. So we have to work together. If it's not, and it would not happen in the next 48 hours, he will call general election.
He will call general election with 25 governments in 12 years. Post-war France was a running joke under the Fourth Republic, partly because governments would fall and the same faces would pop up again in different posts as part of a tiresome game of musical chairs. Enter General de Gaulle in 1958. His Fifth Republic changed all that, shifting the power from parliament to the presidential palace. Yves Saint-Omer, did you think that one day the Fifth Republic would have the scenario that we're trying to make sense of on this set here tonight?
I mean, I am a political scientist, and I would never have thought that such a bad state of politics in France could be possible. So we have to be modest when we speak about the future.
Why is there this crisis? I mean,
what I thought was that the crisis of the political system is increasing, and it is lasting, and it is not just because of one person or another, one party or another. It's the Fifth Republic in general, and perhaps beyond the Fifth Republic, the kind of electoral democracy that Western Europe and the US and England had during a couple of decades. We are now in a quite completely different period. The geopolitical situation is quite different. And what we thought was normal is no more normal. This is why I think that beyond this particular acute crisis, we have to think about what next, what new political game, what new kind of republic for the future, for having a more stable and a more healthy and a more democratic game.
Is compromise impossible in the age of social media trolling, Danielle Obono?
Absolutely not. And if you look at what we've done in Parliament over the year, we actually achieved a compromise. We voted for a budget that was repealed by executive decision. So it's not, as I've been saying, it's not the Parliament who hasn't done its job. It's the government and it's Emmanuel Macron who didn't want the budget we voted. And that was a response to all the urgent matter that social, economic, environmental emergency we are facing now. So we can't rewrite the history and saying like, it's the party who can't do compromise. We did compromise, and the government and Emmanuel Macron didn't want.
If tomorrow there was a compromise suggested whereby, okay, we're going to have to do belt tightening here, but we'll go back on the pension reform, and you said, I'll vote for it, would you then get skewered by your own rank and file, by the people from your own party for voting for a compromise?
Well, you were wondering why are we in such a crisis? I would say that it's the politics. It's the politics. People are fed up with the situation, the day-to-day struggle. And if you don't answer those issue, you can try to build any mechanism, it won't work. Because we're a time, and I do agree with the idea that the institution are outdated. We're in a time when the Fifth Republic is not the right mechanism for 21st century France with the climate emergency, with rising inequalities, and with a demand of the citizen to have a say in the way things are going. And if you have to compromise, what you call a compromise, meaning that the mandate you had, the mandate the Which people gave you, you betray this mandate.
Is it betrayal? Gonna, you get some of what you want and Monsieur Marguin gets some of what he wants.
What happened?
Is that a betrayal?
What happened over the past weeks?
Is that
The Socialist Party tried this way. And what happened? Mr. Le Cornu didn't even care about that.
Right.
They didn't. The Socialist Party, we said it's a major error to try this, but they tried. It happened with Monsieur Bayrou. He spent times and time negotiating, supposedly compromising, and he didn't compromise anything. When you think about the pension reform, it was a huge movement against this pension reform. The majority of the people in France were against it. It was blocked, and the president pushed through this reform. And that was the point of the negotiation that the Socialist Party tried with Monsieur Bayrou. They didn't get anything. They
right.
tried with Monsieur Le Cornu. They didn't get anything.
So okay,
the
so
one
there is
who don't
possibility
want to compromise,
but it's not working. Later this week, the president of the European Commission faces her second vote of no confidence of her second term. Now, there's more far-right and anti-system members of the European Parliament, so it's become easier to get the 72 votes needed to force a vote and try to topple the commission. The chances of the motion passing are close to nil. Still, Hin Ziyan, this is happening at the European level. Mm-hmm. We saw the Dutch government's collapse. Mm-hmm. There's now a caretaker for a caretaker government there, too. As Yves Saint-Omer was saying, is this about France or is it just about the West in general?
Yeah, it is about the West in general. It's not something that is specifically related to France. I think it's actually probably stems from sort of a gap, or I would say a lack of trust between people and the representatives. I think if you look at the crisis in France, why did it actually happen? Because the president, the French president, was expecting to have better results during the last European elections in 2024. That did not happen. Marine Le Pen had a better result. And so he decided to dissolve Parliament to say, okay, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give me the legitimacy I need and to tell me that you trust me. That didn't work out. It was a terrible bet, and we're still paying for that. So when you have a part of the population that does not feel represented or that does not feel heard in what it is expressing and what's been expressing for decades, then you have something that you can't control. I remember years ago, everybody was saying, we need to change the majority system to a proportional system if we want more parties to be elected. We didn't even change that. And today, Marine Le Pen's party, the National Rally, is the first party in parliament, 140 seats. It's not a coalition. The left has a coalition of about that number. We're talking about one party that has more than 100 seats. It was unimaginable a couple of years ago, and that just stems from a number of people, elected officials, presidents, heads of governments, who have decided that it is not worth their time or consideration to look at, you know, the electoral crack that was happening from traditional parties to non-traditional parties, for example, the National Rally. So if you look at the numbers of those parties like the National Rally and how they tripled, sometimes more, in just a couple of years, it gives you the answer to the question, why is this happening? This is basically flooding that we've been trying. Politicians have been trying to prevent for years, but they have failed at doing that because you don't prevent flooding by just ignoring it. You actually listen to the people who have something to say.
Franck Marguin, the French president, consulting with his outgoing prime minister. If you look at his feed on X, Twitter, it's the last tweets are from Friday, urging Hamas to accept the deal that the U.S. is put forth. The French president, who, when he was elected first in 2017, promised to stay above the fray, and he even used the expression to be Jupiterian. He, nonetheless, earlier when we were talking about why this former finance minister, Bruno Le Maire, was suddenly popping up as the armed forces minister, I got the sense from your remarks that there might have been the unseen hand of the president meddling in the formation of this cabinet. And therefore, the question is it about Emmanuel Macron? He can't help himself but to micromanage?
I think you're right. The president has some real difficulties to stay out of the management of the government, but that also due to the constitution in France. All the French presidents in the past were involved, but extremely involved in the formation of the government, except in what we call the cohabitation. When we had the cohabitation, obviously, the president was not involved in the formation of the government. So I would say you're right, that probably the management. But we've got also to understand one big issue here, which we didn't talk about, that Mr. Macron is resisting against the far right. And I think, wherever you go in Europe or even in the Western world, far right is becoming extremely important. And I would support him by trying not having the far right in France. But if you look at the political party's weight in the assembly, it would be able to call the first leader of the far right, Mr. Barbella or Mrs. Le Pen, and ask her or him to try to do a government, which he didn't do. Thanks God, it would have not been successful anyway. But we have also to support him in one way, that he's trying to find a majority outside the extreme left, who are just unable to manage our country. With they want to go back to a pension reform, they want to go back to nationalization of all the industry and so on. And he doesn't want either the extreme right. So at the end of the day, yes, he's putting his hand in the cake, but that's due to the constitution. That's also due to the fact that he has decided to try to avoid the far right. Where I'm afraid, I would say, that if he goes to general election, which I think he will do, and he has no choice anymore, it might be, and I say it might, that the French decide to send the far right as a majority. And in that case, he would have lost everything. He would have a prime minister from the far right, in a cohabitation. So that probably, I would say, would give his entire fail. Now, let's see in the next 45 hours if there is a compromise which could be found, but I'm doubting.
The last year, Yves Saint-Omer, has it brought the national rally, Marine Le Pen's far-right party, closer to power?
For sure. The national rally has not governed France, never, ever.
Was it a mistake? In other Western democracies, the party that gets the most seats, he can ignore there was this coalition of the left and just say, this is the party with the most seats. Should he have at least given the national rally, say, look, you got the most seats. If you want, you can have a go trying to form a government. They would have probably certainly failed. But should he have at least offered that chance to them?
I think that either in other countries, either you give the responsibility to form the government to the main party or to the main coalition. Emmanuel Macron should have done this. And I think that waiting 1.5 year now nearly in such a mess, with citizen distress growing, markets distress growing, civil servants not knowing what to do because there is no clear political leadership, all this make the crisis deeper. And a lot of citizens say, let's try something else. So I think that the president has a huge responsibility in the rise of the national rally, although the global situation contributes also to it.
Yeah, there is what's called the spread. French borrowing costs this Monday after all the drama here in this country at their highest level in 9 months compared to those of 10-year German treasury bonds. Hinzian, French borrowing costs higher than Italy's. It's been talked about a lot. At the same time, the country's still running. The economy is still moving along. In fact, I think the French economy has still the potential to perform better this year than that of Germany at this point. So how deep is the crisis being felt or not right now?
It is being felt. Well, first of all, I think markets are reacting, and they've reacted today to the decision of Prime Minister Le Cornu to resign. I think also that France is a big, modern country, a big economy, so a lot of investors trust it, a lot of partners trust it, and fortunately, we're not going to have a total... we're not going to be dropped by all of our partners, economic partners, investors. It's not happening. However, and I'm going to take examples like the one of Greece, but also of Italy at some point, there is a sense of trust in markets. And if you have unstable governments, then investors, then markets in general are going to be afraid, because stability is what gives the economy a shot and growth. France's growth this year is not exceptional. It is fine, but we can do much better considering that we have a huge debt. We need to do much better in terms of growth if we want to be able to face that amount of debt. So France is doing fine because it is a big economy. It is one of the 10 biggest economies in the world, but it doesn't mean that it can absorb any type of crisis, and that we're not going to have to fix the biggest issues related specifically to politics, growth, and to the debt. And I'm going to remind our viewers, or maybe let our viewers know, that there was a time a couple of months ago when I had conversations as a guest in debates, but also private conversations with economic actors who were saying a lot of investors are afraid to invest in France, are going to the USA, they're afraid to invest in Europe, they're going to the USA because instability. So political instability can never be a good thing for markets, even if today.
The instability now in the United States and
absolutely.
The tariffs, because we've seen money move from the U.S. to Europe in the last 6 months.
Well, in terms of investment and investor confidence, investors believe that the USA, although there is the tariffs, is the place to be if you want to actually keep operating in terms of dollars, if you want to keep operating with American partners, and if you want to just to stay in good terms with America and with Trump's administration. So economic actors and investors are very pragmatic. So if the USA says, if you don't invest in the USA, you're not going to be able to operate in such and such fields or industries, then of course everybody's going to invest there. And the fact that Europe is so unstable and the growth is not so great, then of course they're going to go there with more with a quicker pace. But I can assure you that a lot of investors are afraid of European instability today.
Europe more unstable than the U.S.
Absolutely.
Is what you're saying. All right. The optics sometimes are a little bit different according to points of view. We'll have to leave it there, unfortunately. I want to thank you, Hin Ziyan. I want to thank Daniel Obono, Yves Saint-Omer, Franck Marguin for joining us as well. Thank you for being with us here in the France 24 debate.